I'm Derek Bird from Fly Fusion Magazine, and today I caught up with A.D. Maddox, who is one of the most recognizable fly fishing artists today. Her works have appeared in over 30 different publications on Patagonia t-shirts and on Montana Fly Company fly boxes. Welcome, A.D.
Hello.
And you're all the way over in Nashville, Tennessee, and I apparently caught you doing what you do best. Career-wise, anyways, I'm sure that you do a lot of things really well, but career-wise, I caught you right in the middle of painting something. What are you working on right now?
I'm working on this beautiful cutthroat from the Strawberry River in Utah, shot by Brian Wimmer.
One of the things that, I mean, there's actually a number of things that really impressed me about your work. One is like kind of the vividness of the colors that you use. But another thing, and I don't know if I'm going to sound a little bit crazy when I say this, but another thing is actually the mouth on the trout, like on the trout pieces that you've done. Their mouths are their mouths are so realistic. And the only reason that I picked that up is because I've seen a number of trout in art. And one of the things that I look to first are their mouths. And I've noticed that, I don't know if mouths must be difficult to do, because I've noticed that there's a lot of people that maybe struggle a little bit more with that. But anyways,
right.
Your attention to detail. So starting with the mouth, and whether it be the speckling or the dotting of the trout. I mean, it's all very, like, it's very realistic.
Yeah, the style's developed on its own, but the anatomy of the trout's really important to me. You know, just to get the anatomy totally correct, because there's some people, I mean, and I'd liken it to Picasso.
Right.
Picasso, the way he painted humans is off.
Yeah, right.
And so I would be the opposite. I mean, I'm not an illustrator at all, which is the funny part of it. I never was an illustrator.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when I get phone calls for logos, I send them, you know, elsewhere, because the, you know, illustrators are completely different from fine artists, I think.
Right.
And an illustrator could go into fine art, but I just really want, when I paint, after I get the drawing done of what I want to do, no thinking is allowed when I paint.
It's, okay.
Thinking is, if you really think about the action of thinking, you're looking at what you're painting, and then you go upstairs into your head, and you got the rat on the wheel, and that's just, it adds extra time to executing what you really want to get done.
Right. Yeah.
The reason why I'm mentioning this is that the stuff that just comes out is just stream of conscious. It just You know, it flows. I'm actually listening to music, and but this stuff now, when you get into some of my most favorite pieces are nailing the anatomy of the trout and then letting my imagination go to the water.
Right. Okay. Now,
and that's
now
fun.
You said like a whole bunch of really cool things that I wanna like go back to, which is like you talked about stream of conscious, and you talked about kind of just not thinking when you're painting, because really, am I safe to assume in saying that sometimes our thoughts get in the way of allowing us to, you know, create a piece of art like that? So our thoughts actually, you know, whether it's self-doubt or whatever it is, they can kind of jump in and sabotage what we're doing in front of us. Is that safe to assume?
Well, that's actually what I think happens for the most part. I think that thinking is absolutely dangerous, because what are you thinking with?
Right.
You know, you can be thinking with what you saw or what somebody told you to do, what a teacher told you to do, what a friend's evaluation was, what the critic said, and what you ought to do or what you should do from a book, rather than actually looking right in front of you, which is observation of the obvious.
Right.
What's right in front of you. So, yeah, thinking, in my opinion, is really something that is, I think it's I think it's a liability, honestly.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, especially at a, you know, at the stage where you're, you know, where you're standing in front of your easel, like you said, and, you know, the brush strokes are coming, that may be the place where it's dangerous to do too much thinking. Artistic genius. And I like that phrase, artistic genius. It's, you know, it's been talked about a little bit, saying like, you know, there's different artists, and I'm thinking about music here for a second, but there's different artists who will like struggle over lyrics for years, like say like a Leonard Cohen. But then there's also kind of Bob Dylan type artists that, you know, in 15 or 20 minutes, sometimes they'll like hammer out their lyrics on a napkin, right? What kind of artist are you? Are you somebody that, you know, that keeps going back to a painting because it's never perfect in your mind, or is it somebody that gets it done and you're happy with what you've done?
Get it done. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't pick apart. I don't do any self-invalidation. Zero. That's not allowed in my universe. Everything that I do is, you know, pieces have a timesheet. I clock in and clock out because I have to, it's a statistic of mine, you know, but yeah, pieces are executed, and then I work them in rounds because I'm working in oil and the oil has to dry. But when,
gotcha.
You know, I mean, I'd love to be a la prima, paint them in one sitting, but my artwork is, it's, you know, I let the oil dry and then I go back over and do layers and layers. And it's a really great technique because you can do a lot of glazing work. You can do a lot of dry brushing and, you know, add depth and dimension to it, which I know some people a la prima do it. But you know, I don't know if you know what a la prima means, but it's, you know, painting in first attempt. It means when you sit down at a canvas, you paint it from start to finish and it's done.
Yeah.
And it's a great method of making a lot of money really fast.
Yeah.
But I like to play with these pieces and develop them because they're kind of an adventure. So I let each piece go off in whatever adventure it goes on. And when I finish a painting, it's when I look at it and I say, for this particular piece, there is nothing else that I can see technically. Mm-hmm. And you know, just really looking at the balance of it, the light, harmony, the composition's good, and I call it and I sign it.
So you don't have many, I noticed that you don't have many like Flyingler centric paintings, but the ones that you do have, they don't show the angler's face. Is it because you're a huge fan of Sia, or is there another reason for this?
Yeah, because the likelihood of selling them isn't that good.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, who wants to buy a painting that has somebody else's face? It's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
So if I hide them, they can at least say, well, you know, they can even lie to their friends and say, you know, that's me.
And they have a better chance of identifying with it, right? With the painting, they would have a better chance of identifying if it's not somebody else's face that's doing the fishing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have painted one with a full face, glasses, ears, teeth, everything of a man fishing. I mean, it was for a client of mine that was for her father.
So it was a commissioned,
commissioned piece. But other than that, I like to hide them so they can put themselves, into that situation.
Sure.
And, you know, remind them.
Yeah. So just a couple more questions then, AD, and thank you again for hopping on the phone with me today. I really appreciate your time that you're taking away from painting. But is there like a growth stage that you can, like in your life that you look at that, you know, kind of helped you mature as an artist? I know that, that certain painters through time, they'll actually like their art will actually kind of go through this maturing process. Is that something that's happened with you, or is that, have you just kind of?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, I absolutely. I mean, you know, I'd love to tell you that my life is Cinderella, which, you know, for the most part it is, and everything's great all the time. But, you know, I went through, you know, really dark places in 2005 and, you know, trials and tribulations in life help you. You know, I went through a really a dark time where a lot of my paintings were, you know, really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it was like 2007, there were a lot of dark paintings in that time period that are a lot different. And then I went through 2011, something lit up. God knows mm-hmm. my palette did. And I went through these really bright, shocking colors, which just what was going on in my life, you know, it was really
right.
bright and exciting. And my palette's changed quite a bit. Now, what I'm going back to right now is more of the earth tones from when I painted Thanksgiving and Rainbow On and Not Over
yeah.
Yet and
yeah.
even Snacks, really rich with burgundies. I'm trying to get out of this electric shocking,
right.
These electric shocking colors. And a lot of it has to do with sales. I think that what my clients are looking for is more the earth tones. There's some that like the electrics, but
mm-hmm.
But yeah, and that, and the other thing too, Derek, is that I've noticed for myself, because I've been doing this my entire life, that style changes. You know, within my repertoire, and allowing myself the freedom to play with my pieces. And then, you know, quite a few artists will back this up, that it, as I go along, my tools change, my brushes change,
right.
or,
yeah.
you know, I have more brushes to use, I have more techniques, I have more things to add to a piece that I couldn't see before. When I look at my earlier work, I'm like, wow. You know,
yeah.
and I post this on social media, pieces from 2000, 2001,
mm-hmm.
and here we are 16, 17 years later.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
There's a shocking difference in blending
right.
and glazing and dry brushing.
Growth.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And it naturally happens as you work at something.
Sure,
you know?
It does. Yeah. Yeah. So I have one more question for you before I let you run
yeah.
away.
Oh, that's totally fine. I'm not in any rush.
If it's too personal, you don't have to answer it. But I've noticed.
Who am I dating? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I've noticed that you ride a motorcycle and that your career is all about
images.
Oh,
yeah.
So is it safe to assume that you have tattoos?
Oh, God, no. Oh, that is so funny. No, you know what? I am through and through a Southern girl. I'm edgy. There's no
yeah.
question about it. My communication level is extremely high.
Right.
But you know, still I'm a Southern girl, and tattoos are just not
what
is
a Southern
in
girl
my mock-up. Well, it's just not in my mock-up. I would rather be I'm not saying that they're,
you don't want to put them on a spectrum of you know, good to bad or anything like that. You're just saying that you don't have them. It's an odd question that I asked you, and honestly it was like she must have tattoos because she, you know, she rides a bike, she's all about images, and so I'm like, oh, she must. But that was a great answer to a great answer to a question where I was like way off, because you don't actually have a tattoo. Here I thought you were gonna, you know, walk me down the path of, you know, a fish on your back shoulder blade or something like that. But
I know, it's so funny. I'm one of these chicks that likes to ride a Ducati with a Prada backpack, and
right.
you know, and somewhere I've got some David Yurman on. It's like, and then you have chicks that are like tattooed and they're on the back of Harleys, and you know, in a black halter top, black leather halter top. It's for some people, I think,
right.
I think they're really cool. But all my artwork, thank God, you know, I can create images and art that go onto canvas and not on my body.
Okay. Yeah.
do you have tattoos?
No, I don't have a tattoo, but I'm like so fascinated by people that do, because I have this assumption, and sometimes it's a false assumption, but I have this assumption that people that have a tattoo, that it reveals some massive life experience, or it reflects some massive life experience, And so I, whenever I meet somebody that has one, I always ask if, you know, I always ask about their tattoo so that I can hear their life story. Cause a lot of times, but sometimes, honestly, sometimes I'll be like, wow, that's like a really cool butterfly on your forearm. Why did you get that? Was it like some massive, you know, event that happened in your life? And they're like, no, I just like butterflies. So,
that is so funny.
So, so again, Adie, thank you so much for joining me today. Honestly, I really appreciate it. It was fun chatting with you.
Absolutely, Jared.
You just, the way your mind works as far as your art. I mean, I'm just so impressed. So, is there a website like that you'd like to throw out there that people can go to see your work if they haven't seen it yet?
Oh, absolutely, admaddox.com.
If you haven't gone and checked out her work, make sure that you do that. And thanks again for taking time away from your easel today and chatting with me.
Awesome, absolutely. Thank you, Derek.